My name is Sagan Masaule, and I'm with the APRM Continental Secretariat. I'm stationed within the office of the CEO. I'm a researcher by profession. I'm also a socio-political activist in South Africa. Dr. Diana Kine is the permanent secretary with the Ministry of Health for the Uganda government in East Africa. I'm going to hand over to Dr. Diane Akine.
Why has Africa been less impacted? Best practice examples from the continent. And I do think that at this time, Uganda is ranked one of those countries that have maintained the numbers low amidst a lot of infection in the neighborhood. I might say that our experience in the previous epidemics, I remember, over the last number of years, we have had repeatedly a number of outbreaks that helped us to build robust systems in the country. We activated public health emergency operation center and also the teams in the districts. We also were able to do multi-sectoral coordination structures, and we created what we call One Health and Disaster Management Platform that brings everyone together, such that anytime there is any epidemic, it is very basically easier to pick everyone together and we move together. But also, we started a very strong laboratory and surveillance capacities all over the country, and also robust risk communication and social mobilization. There has been also strong national platform management, and because of that, we have had also the trust from the people, such that when we are able to sound an alarm, everyone is able to listen, and therefore we can say that we have done very well even in communication, because the people, they have trusted us. And so every time there is any outbreak, we send an alarm, and the population rallies behind our support. But also in this time of COVID, we saw also the early and decisive action to implement containment measures was crucial in slowing spread of COVID. If I take you through quickly on our milestone as far as COVID is concerned, from the time we got the news on 15th of January, we activated our public health emergency operating center, and on 30th we had also to come up with our response plan. 1st of February, we were able to added COVID-19 to EVD screening at Entebbe Airport. Then on 2nd, interministerial committee was inaugurated that will coordinate all the activities of anti-COVID. Between February and March, we've been able to build capacity building. We strengthen our surveillance, case management, and sample collection team. Then 14 days of quarantine of travelers started around 1st of March, but it was not very easy, and we could not successfully ensure that the people quarantined themselves very well. And on 17th of March, we had to start mandatory institutional quarantine for all the travelers. And on 18th, the president announced, after studying the risk that was coming in the country, and the schools were closed on 18th of March, and then the places of worship. And this was the high risk areas that would increase the infection rapidly. And on our first case was reported on 21st of March. And when it was reported on 21st of March, 22nd, immediately we closed the airport, together with the borders, only allowing the cargo to come in. And because of that, it helped us to concentrate in the country. I want to say that to date, we have reported 253 cases, and the recoveries are 69. And because of this, it helped us also to institute a 14-day lockdown, which was also extended to another 3 weeks. That helped us to put systems, to put SOPs, to prepare our hospitals for any eventuality. And on 10th of April, that's when we started mandatory testing of the truck drivers that are come. As you know, East Africa, because of our East African community, we have inter-trade, inter-country trade, and a lot of traffic on trucks. It's very heavy. We have heavy trucks, especially from Kenya. And we saw that that was also the source of infection, because when we started testing, nearly, I must say that over 70% of our people who are sick, who we have identified in the country, are truck drivers. And therefore, we started now mandatory testing of the truck drivers at the border. At first, we did not have infrastructure. We would transport the samples up to Kampala, and that would delay. And then after that, we started now putting up infrastructure nearer so that we get a quick turnaround time of the results. As I talk now, we are putting in place the border health and putting equipment, the PCR machines, and the laboratory capacity enable us to test so that within 3 hours at the border, we are able to give the results to the truck drivers. We knew that there were so many other travelers that had come in the country and were not so sure how far the infection had gone in the country, and therefore we instituted the community rapid assessment survey, where we looked at the risk groups along the highway, the schools, the teachers, the medical teams, the border population that mainly cross over from one country to another. So we speak to those ones, and we did the rapid survey, which we have just concluded. And that survey was able to tell us that we had not actually registered any community transmission, and that we had 4 sporadic cases that we picked in the community. And those ones were connected to the people who had traveled from our neighbors in Tanzania. And one police officer who was a law enforcer on the highway, possibly he could have gotten the case from the truck driver. Right now, we are in the phase of lifting the lockdown, and have put in place the SOPs to help us to emphasize social distancing and other processes of avoiding infection. But as we go along, we know that we could not have done this if it was not the president's support. The president has been the biggest pillar for us for fighting this COVID, because from the word go, he's the one who has been literally chairing the task force. And he came up with 35 guidelines that he announced, and he has been addressing the nation every week and coming up with detailed guidance on the population. And they trust what he says, and they really are followed. And this has been our biggest strength. The other biggest strength is that when we restricted the movement in the country, gave us opportunity to look around to see where the potential threats are. And then that's where we put our emphasis and dealt, especially the border population. Then also suspension of public transport helped us also not to have to cross border, because in our country, we have so many activities that are across the border. From Congo, people travel a lot to Uganda for shopping, in Kenya, Tanzania, Rwanda, South Sudan. It is now our biggest problem, because a big number of our people travel to South Sudan to take their goods. And when they come back really sick. And it's a big challenge. But also now we are starting to institute a mandatory use of hand washing and social distancing at our place of work, and also community use of masks. So far, those are the statistics. As you can see, blue is non-Ugandan, and Ugandan are represented by red. And that's where we are right now. We go by the distribution by sample collection points. The airport was constituting a small point, but of course, when we closed, then it was not an issue. But you can see the biggest number of our population that come in the country that is sick is from the port of entry, I mean the border. And then the institution of quarantine, whenever we get the contacts of these drivers and we quarantine them, and that is the percentage that have turned out to be positive. And the community, that is the number that we have got, but also those ones are represented by the people in institutional quarantine. Rapid assessment survey. In the interest of time, let me not go into the details of the rapid assessment survey, but this is the survey I had mentioned earlier, which we established to ascertain the extent of the community transmission in the country. And so far we identified four. Those are the ones, and the overall community transmission proportion of positivity was 0.0258. And so far we have not recorded any community transmission in the country. This is just the stage we are at. We are still at a sporadic case reporting. We have not reported any cluster of community spread, but as we continue getting the numbers increasing, especially from our neighbors, our challenge in Uganda has been the porous borders. And so as we continue getting people still moving in through porous borders, we anticipate that we might also get into the community spread. I must say that our strength lies in the leadership, strong leadership and coordination. And this is spearheaded by HE, the President of the Republic of Uganda, but also there has been a unified multi-sector response command from the Ministry of Health, but also we are working with other sectors, and also the regional collaborative approach together with the health development implementation partners. We had to put in place the statutory instruments because we learned from other countries where they had to take people to court by stopping even, for example, implementation of some guidelines. We had to do that at the beginning, and also we rolled out the preparedness and response plan, which the population really took it positively, and they are helping us actually to identify any possible contact. We established scientific advisory committee that looks at the best practice and continue to review best practice out there, the new information that is available, and also we interrogate it with our own teams, the case management teams, and that has helped us also to come up with our guidelines for treatment that are localized for in our country that have helped us. So far we have not had any death in the country. The regional implementation has also helped us now that we are establishing more labs in the country using even GeneXpert, although the cartridges has been very difficult to obtain. But also we have established a rapid response assessment teams and the surveillance, the epidemiologists that are all over, that every region now you go to, you'll find that the teams present there. And that has helped us to give us the feedback at all times, at any one time that we are able to respond quickly. Now I'm concluding. What also has helped us also, we have embraced ICT solutions. We are using ICT solutions for tracking our drivers, for tracking our contacts, and also we keep on getting this information regularly and a 24-hour operational center that is able to help us to track all these people. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Dr. Akina. That was very, very informative. Hopefully some of the things that may have been left out, you'll be able to cover them during Q&A. Just briefly to summarize on, you know, the key points that came out of the presentation. The experience and lessons learned from previous incidents of pandemics in Uganda obviously played a big role in preparedness as well as the ability to respond to the current COVID-19 pandemic in the country. The issue of social mobilization as well as public awareness, which from the presentation, one can say it seems the government of Uganda was able to build on. The issue of trust as well, with regards to keeping citizens informed, as well as at all times the president once a week being able to communicate with the citizens around the state of things, how far things are, on the COVID-19 incidents. Another issue that I picked up was that obviously they have a tried and tested systems that came about because of these experiences that they have in the past, and as a result, they were able to respond better to the current situation. And the last but not least that came out is the issue of the restriction of movement. You know, the fact that it's key, it came out very, very clearly that the ability of a government or a state to restrict movement of its citizens primarily is very, very important. The ability to control the borders as well, it came out very clearly. Quarantine facilities as well. You need to have adequate quarantine facilities if you are going to quarantine people and test them and so on and so forth. Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Atine. To Uganda, how were you able to ensure all people in communities followed lockdown rules? And how did your government make use of spontaneous compassion ventures, sometimes referred to as solidarity network, to assist in fighting these COVID-19?
How did we track all the contacts? Yes, first of all, we intervened early enough before we were overwhelmed by numbers to be followed up. When the president announced, he made it very, very elaborate with guidance on what to do up to the village level. In case someone traveled from across the border and came to our country, we have a very elaborate village systems, our structures up to the village. They know who is where and who has come in the village. They would be able to report. And we created the helplines and the systems through which they were able to call. And so right now we have about 100 call center attendants who are online to receive all the calls from all over the country. And therefore the people from the village would be able to report. But also those that came, we made an announcement that those who traveled from abroad, because when we started detecting early travelers that they were coming with the infection, then we put out a notice from the Ministry of Health, and we called upon everyone who had traveled between, you know, from early March to the end to come forward for testing. And they responded. And also they would not only come alone, but they would come with their families or the other contacts that they had. And that's how we're able to pick most of those people that had traveled. Thank you very much.